So if you have one of those verses, I'll get to you here in a little bit. Just hang on to it, and it will be obvious when your time comes. All right? All right. September 1640, a small vessel set sail for the New World. On board were 100 people. 100 people. Their goal was to find a land where they could establish a community and have religious freedom. And they set out on this voyage, and about halfway through the voyage, a terrible storm broke out, and the beam that held the mast, the main beam, broke, and they were in great peril, and they were able to take a printing press that they had brought on board, and they were able to take a piece of wood from that printing press and fix the ship. But as they continued sailing month after month, their food became almost inedible. It was moldy. It had all kinds of varmints, you know. It was just nasty and almost inedible, and people were getting sick. They had no fresh water, and it was just a great trial. And finally, after 2 months, they spotted land, and they rejoiced. In fact, before they sent anyone aboard or off the ship on the land, they all got together in the main cabin, and they prayed, and they thanked God for delivering them and bringing them to this new world. And they drew up the first American document. And it started, this is amazing, this first document, government American document, they started by giving glory to God. That's changed a lot, hasn't it? They sent a group ashore to find a suitable place to live, and those left behind stayed on the ship till about December. Now, they're landing in what we call today New England, and you can imagine what it's like in New England in December. And they finally decide to go ashore to a place they call Plymouth Harbor. Because of the brutal travel, the terrible diet, and now the frigid cold, many of them began to die. And through that wintertime, half of their population, half of that 100, died. But it's interesting, in the spring when that ship began to go back to England, by the way, the name of the ship was the Mayflower, not one of those 50 remaining pilgrims got on board and went back. And they began to labor, and God provided help for them, and they planted crops. And that first November, they set aside a special time of thanksgiving to God for what he had done and how he had helped them. In 1863, President Lincoln called for all states to celebrate Thanksgiving. And then on October 31st of 39, President Franklin Roosevelt signed a presidential proclamation saying that Thanksgiving be held on the last Thursday of November. Now, you know that's changed. 2 years later, there was a joint resolution of Congress that they would move Thanksgiving to the fourth Thursday of November. And, of course, that's where it is today, and we're going to celebrate it this week. So on Thanksgiving Day, we stop. And we thank God for his goodness. And we celebrate the goodness of God. I hope we do that. I'm afraid Thanksgiving today has kind of become family time only, which is good for family to be together. We've got family. Our kids and grandkids are coming in. We're excited about that. And it becomes eating and family and football. Now, I'm not against any of those three. But the priority ought to be Thanksgiving. You know, as I've thought about this lesson, and I've been thinking about it really all week long, being thankful is a forgotten art. I was speaking with a teacher this week, and she had really worked hard to do something in the school. And she said, I just wish that they would have said, thanks. By the way, Jim, I appreciated we did the Veterans Day. Was that last Sunday? Yes. And twice Jim came to me and said, hey, thank you for organizing that and doing it. And I appreciate that. Now, you don't do it so people say thanks. But it's always nice, isn't it? But most of the time, we're not saying thanks. We are griping and complaining. And that's what comes naturally, doesn't it? Now, this morning, We're going to start this lesson, and I want to start with a call to thanksgiving. The word thanksgiving is found in the Bible 29 times. Now, we're only going to look at 28 of them, okay? Because one of them really doesn't have to do with us. But I've given some of you men some verses. I think they're all men. There may be some ladies, too. I'm not sure. There are some ladies. Okay. And we're going to talk about, I want you to hear what the Bible says about thanksgiving. Okay? So if you are reading a verse, I'll call out the reference. I'd like you to stand and to read it out good and loud so everybody can hear it. I may make a few comments about some of these verses. But we start, the first six all deal with, interestingly enough, when God instituted the Levitical priesthood, there were burnt offerings, there were peace offerings. Did you know, and we're going to hear about it in a minute, that there was a thanksgiving offering? A specific offering designed to give thanksgiving. Let's hear about it. Here we go, Leviticus 7:12. Good. And 7:13, Leviticus 7:13.
Beside the cakes, he shall offer his offering of leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering.
And 7:15, Leviticus 7:15.
And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning.
Good. And Leviticus 22:29. Leviticus 22:29.
And when we will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will.
Yeah, now notice again, Frank, offer the thanksgiving what? What are the next three words?
At your own will.
Maybe I've got the wrong. Let's see. Thanksgiving, right after Thanksgiving. Next three words.
Unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord. Let me ask you a question.
When was the last time you just sat down, even in your prayer, and thanked the Lord for what he's done in your life? Now here the priest had a whole offering given for thanksgiving, and I didn't mean to give these two verses out. I did, so good luck with the names. Nehemiah 11:17. just do it in hillbilly. You'll be all right. That was outstanding, David. Very good. I did not. That is wonderful. Good. And who had 12:8? Nehemiah 12:8.
Moreover, the Levites, Jeshua, Benui, Kadameo, Sheridamai, Judah, and Manhattani, which was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren.
Good. Who has Nehemiah 12:40? Thank you, man. I didn't mean to have you read those. Nehemiah 12:46. All right, so Asaph was the song director, okay? David was the king. What was Asaph's job? He was the worship leader. He was the chief of the singers. And the songs of praise and thanksgiving for the great people in the church. Well, now, I'm grateful for the great people in the church. But the thanksgiving was to be unto God. Unto God. Okay, Psalm 26:7. Yeah, tell of all thy wondrous works. Hey, let me ask you a question.
How many people this week did you talk to about all of God's wondrous works? I appreciate it. I was talking to Christy before church or before Sunday school here and about her dad. And she said, Dad was in terrible pain and we prayed and begged God. And those aren't her exact words. And God answered prayer. You know what you just did? You just praised and thanked God. And we should be doing that all the time. Psalm 50:14.
Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High.
Offer unto God thanksgiving. They made, and he said, pay your vows. What was the vow? The vow that they would praise God and give him thanksgiving. And he said, you need to keep your vow. I think about that. Have you ever made a vow? God, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to make it my life's call to thank God and praise God for what he does in my life. Okay? I've lost my place. Let's see. Psalm 69:30. Yeah, and notice that last part. And will magnify whom? Him. With thanksgiving. Now, and Christy, I hope I didn't embarrass you, but you know what you did when you told me that? You said God answered, and again, I can't remember all the exact wording. I don't remember what happened 2 minutes ago, much less 10 minutes ago. But you magnified God. God, we prayed, and God answered. You magnified God. And that's what we're supposed to be doing in our life. And by the way, think about this. When we're griping and complaining and grumbling, are we magnifying God? In fact, it's the exact opposite. Exact opposite. All right? Psalm 95:2.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and
rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Notice Psalm 100, verse 4. Wow, what a verse. Enter into his gates. What does that mean? Where are you going when you go to God's gates? Well, now this is the Old Testament. To the temple. David said, when you enter the house of God, what should you enter it with? Well, I don't want to be here, but my wife made me come. You know, I sure wish I... No, enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Does that sound like your life? I'll just be honest with you. Doesn't sound like mine a lot of times. Wow, what an admonition. How about Psalm 107:22?
And make him sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing.
Yeah, there it is again. Declare his works with rejoicing. Have you told somebody this week about what God's done for you? Has God done anything for you this week? Okay. Psalm 116:17.
I will offer to thee a sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord.
Good. Psalm 147:7.
Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God.
Good. Isaiah 51:3. Yeah, when God does something for you, what should you have? Thanksgiving. Jeremiah 30:19. Hang in there, gang. We're getting somewhere.
And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small.
Amen. Amos 4:5. Good. Jonah 2:9.
But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation
Now, I want you to stop for just a moment. Now, that's in the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verse 9. Jonah said, I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. Where was he when he said that? Because I know what some of you are thinking. And some of you have been through terrible times, and I know that. And some of us right now are thinking, you know what, I would be thankful if God would do something for me. If my times were not so difficult. And that is very human. And we're all there. That's why we all gripe and complain. And why we're so miserable. But I want to remind you where Jonah was. Okay? This was big fish praise. Okay? But he was inside the big fish. Now, I can't imagine what that was like. I mean, was he floating around in all the junk in the fish? Some say that when he went to that city to preach, one of the reasons they listened to him was he was all bleached out and nasty looking from all the stomach acid that was inside the fish. Could be. I mean, he may have looked like a ghost. And here he is, and he's disobeyed God, he's done wrong, God has punished him, God has chastened him, he's in the belly of the fish, and he said, Lord, I just want to thank you. Wow, that's convicting, isn't it? By the way, after he offered the thanksgiving, you know what happened next? God said, okay, I'll let you out. And the next verse, it says that the fish vomited him up on the ground. Isn't that a great picture? And the guy's picking himself up with all this junk. I mean, we just need to use our imaginations a little bit. And I'd say probably when he showed up in town, he didn't smell very good either. I hope he took a bath first. But 2 Corinthians 4:15. Now, we don't use that word redound today. What does it mean? It may redound to the glory of God. Any ideas? Something that is bountiful, something that is plentiful. And look what he's saying. He's saying, be enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Excuse me, wrong verse. For all things that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or show the glory of God. Do you see what thanksgiving does? It brings glory to God. Why are you here? Why did God make you? Hello? You've heard this before. This is not new. To glorify God. You ever thought about this? When we're griping and complaining, we're not glorifying God. We're not giving a right view of God. We're saying God doesn't care about me. We're saying God is not fair. The situation I'm in is not right. When we are giving thanksgiving, we are saying, my God is sovereign. My God is good. My God is gracious. My God is merciful. When we have thanksgiving, folks, this verse says we are giving manifold glory to God. Jim? Yes, good.
That's what makes it a sacrifice. You don't feel it. You don't
right.
Feel like it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we're going to spend more time there next week, but you're exactly right. Good. All right, let's move on to 2 Corinthians 9:11. Be enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Let me ask you a question. Has God enriched us to all bountifulness? You know how I know that? All I have to do every time Bob has a garage sale is go out in the gym. And see the stuff you're getting rid of. Right?
Wow, we are blessed. We are blessed, folks. And we should be constantly giving him thanks for all he's done for us. Instead of saying, boy, I wish I had a nicer house. We ought to be saying, Lord, thank you for this home you provided for me. Boy, I just wish I had that car. Wouldn't it be better if we could say, Lord, thank you for the car you've given to me. A lot of people don't have cars. You've got one, and most of the time it runs. We ought to be thankful. Philippians 4:6, and of course this has to deals with prayer, and we've talked about this. Somebody who has the Philippians 4:6.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Yeah. Praying, supplication. We do that because we have problems. But he says, do that with thanksgiving. A couple more. Colossians 2:7. Abounding therein, abundant, overflowing thanks. Now I'm just going to, look. This just ain't us. God said, believer, you should be overflowing with thanksgiving. Super abundant thanksgiving. And I think I've got a couple more. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4. Who's got that? 1 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. We'll take that.
Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Good. And who did I give verse 4 to somebody else? Okay, thank you. I love those verses because I love meat. The guys are going to Brazil. I said, you guys got to go to those Brazilian steakhouse at least two or three times. You know, they put a flag. You got a flag on your table and you put the flag up and they just bring meat. They bring buffalo. They bring lamb. They bring cow. They bring whatever. I mean, they're just bringing this stuff until you put the flag down. I said, don't put the flag down, guys. And the Bible says everything is to be, where's my verse? Said some people were forbidding to marry and saying, don't eat meat. Okay? He said, everything which God hath created is to be received with thanksgiving. Amen. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. So when you get that steak, as long as you say, thank you, Lord, you can just eat it to your heart's content. I love those great, those are great verses. Wonderful. Last one. Revelation. Larry, you got this one? All right, finish us off here. Now, I want to remind you, Revelation 7 takes place in heaven. Okay? If you're a believer, you're going to be here about what he's about to read. Go ahead.
After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth to the Lamb, and all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, who fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God.
Now listen to what they're going to say. Listen.
Saying, amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
So if you're a Christian, what are you going to do for all eternity? Won't that be something? Nobody will be griping in heaven. Well, these streets of gold aren't wide enough. Can't hardly get too, you know, it's terrible, you know. My mansion's not as big as his mansion. We're just going to praise God. Worship God and offer thanksgiving for all he's done for us. Now, we have just looked at 28 different usages in the Bible of the word thanksgiving. We're not done. There are 79 verses in the Bible that talk about giving thanks. We're not going to look at them all, don't worry. Let me just read some of them for you. 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 18:49. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Psalm 35:18. I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Psalm 119:62. Listen to what David did. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. He's talking about the word of God. He said, I get up at midnight to thank God for his word. Daniel 6:10. Listen to David's practice, or Daniel. Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went to his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Every time, 3 times a day, David would, or Daniel would stop and pray and give thanks to God. Ephesians 5:20. Listen. Here it is. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is tough. This is God's command. Giving thanks always for all things. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Lest you think Ephesians 5:20 was a mistake, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Say, Gary, what's God's will for my life? Well, salvation is one, sanctification is one, service is one. You know another one? God's will for your life is for you to be thankful. Okay, give me a couple more. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and listen to this, giving of thanks be made for all men. What? Giving of thanks for all men? Even that jerk? Finally, Hebrews 13:15. And this is, Jim, what you were talking about. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, any questions? Now, I only covered 11 of the 79. Can there be any doubt about God's will about giving thanks and thanksgiving? Any question about how God feels about this? Now, folks, we've taken 20 minutes to look at several scriptures, probably about 40 scriptures, about what God says. What is God's will for your life? Now, let me ask you a question. Yeah. By the way, there are some things in Scripture that are difficult. And you look at that passage and you say, man, life, what does that mean? What does God really mean in that text? We don't have that problem here. Joey, I know God's will for your life. Be thankful. Scott, I know God's will for your life. Be thankful. Kim, I know God's will for your life. Be thankful. Both Kims. I know God's will for my life. Be thankful. Now let me ask you a question. If it's so clear, it's just all throughout Scripture. What in the world is wrong with us? Now, by the way, the Bible talks much about the crisis of thanklessness. And I'm only on page 4 and I've got like 4 more to go. Good news, it's a 2-week lesson, so I can make it up next week. But it's interesting to me that the Lord said, you know, in the last times and the latter times, there's going to be a problem. And I'm going to skip all the way to that. And let me just read that to you real quickly in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it says, this know also, in the last times, perilous times shall come. For men, now listen to what's going to happen in the last times. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Is that going on? Yeah. Covetous? Yeah. Boasters? Yeah. Proud? Every Monday night I deal with those guys playing basketball. Blasphemers? Yeah. Disobedient to parents? Go ahead. There you go. And you know what the next one is? Unthankful. Unthankful. Think about your prayer life. Let's say you pray half hour a day. Okay? It's not. Or let's say 15 minutes. Okay? Now, I'm not going to ask you how many pray 15 minutes a day. But let's say you pray 15 minutes a day. Let me ask you a question. What percentage of that is asking versus praising and thanking? I remember several years ago, I was getting ready to have my prayer time in the morning, and I just felt led, I guess, of the Lord, I hope of the Lord, to not ask for anything. And I remember a little song that the Gethsemane Quartet sang, Jesus, I just want to thank you. And I spent the whole time, I didn't ask God for anything. I'll be honest with you, it was a little tougher to pray as long as I normally did. And I was just thanking God for things. But it was sweet. It was sweet. Because the majority of my prayer time is asking, which God tells us to ask. I'm not saying that's wrong. But remember, it says to pray with thanksgiving. Now, some of these commands, be thankful for everything at all times. How is that possible? I want to deal with that next week, okay? So you're on your own this week, okay? God just told you to do it. Try to figure it out. It shouldn't be hard seeing we're having Thanksgiving all. But next week I want to really deal with the theological undercarriage that will allow us to be thankful for all things. And I challenge you this week, take a day and say, Lord, today I'm not going to ask for anything. All of my prayers today will be thanking God for what he's done for me, for who he is. Try it. And I'd love to hear some testimonies next week. See what God does when we just thank him and praise him and glorify him. By the way, if you're kind of like me and have that kind of that negative bent, people don't like to be around negative people. I tell you what, start praising God all the time. Now, it may drive him nuts. But I'd much rather be around somebody who's saying, isn't this great? This praise the Lord for this 40 below weather. This is just great, man. I get to stay inside by the fire. It's wonderful, you know? And when you get a grasp of who God is, you'll begin to thank him. I'm kind of jumping the... I'm so anxious about next week, but we'll get there, Lord willing. If the Lord comes back, we won't worry about it because we'll be in heaven. We'll be thanking him for all eternity. So, let's be people of thanks, all right? Lord, thank you for the clarity of the Word of God. And Lord, help us, I pray, to be people who are thankful. Just glorifying you and praising you with our lips, with our lives. Lord, we struggle with this. And there are people here this morning who have gone through great trials. Some are in the midst of those trials. And yet, Lord, you call us to be thankful. And that's so difficult. And I pray that you would help us to learn to be content in whatever state we are in. And to be thankful to you. God, minister to our hearts. Change us. Make us like you. Help us, Lord, this week to glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For all those that read Scripture, thank you for doing that. That was a great help.